Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Chatzimot Amalef with the Mishnah Isha. Shenodra b'nazir v'itashu teh b'yayin u'metamea l'mitim. So a woman who took a dead nizirut and she was drinking wine, or being metamea l'mitim, meaning violating her nizirut, harei zeh sofeget et harabayim, and she gets a malchus for violating her nizirut. Haf, v'erla bala v'hilo yad'ah. Now, what happens if her husband was mefer, nullified the neder that she took, so it's no longer effective, but she does not know about this nullification? Shefer la bala. Right, so shota b'yayin mutama the meitim, and nevertheless she continues to drink wine and to get tamei to the meitim. Eno soveget et harabayim. She does not receive malchus min haTorah because she's no longer in violation of the law, even though she does not know that her neder nizirut was nullified. Nevertheless, in actuality, it has been nullified, and therefore she will not be chayev malchus mide oraisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Menu Soveget Arbaim, Tispog Makat Mardut. Even though she doesn't get malchus min haTorah, she should still get malchus mide rabbanon, to dissuade her from acting in this way, because she really thought she was violating the lav, or violating her neder nizirut, or she did not bother her that she was violating her neder nizirut. Therefore, we want her to understand that there's a severity to violating nidarim. Therefore, we'll give her makas madut. Of all makas, again, midoraisa, we can't give her because she's not violating the neder nizirut because it's been nullified by her husband. Tan rabbana, isha hefiram behashem islach la. Her husband will mefer nullify it, and Hashem will give her kapara. So now, what's the case here? If it's a case where the husband nullified it for his wife and that she needs kapara, why does she need kapara? That's a right given to the husband that he can veto his wife's neder nizirut, and she doesn't hold any culpability for that. So what's the case here? Must be beisha shefar la bala hilo yada, that it was a case where her husband was mefer the neder and she did not know about it. Akatu medaber she tzricha kapara slicha, that she requires kapara and slicha. So despite the fact that she's not really violating any iser doraisa because her husband's nullified the neder, nevertheless she requires kapara and slicha. Because when she did it, she acted in a manner where she thought she was violating the neder. So, when your behavior reached this pasuk, you used to cry. So now, I just point out here, the Rosh asks, well, there's in the parsha of Nizirut, in the parsha of talking about Nazir, there, or in Nidarim, really, not in Nazir, where the husband can be made for, there are three times that it says, Veshem Yislach Lo, or Vehefer Lo. Now, once by Anara Muruaso, once by an Ishto, a wife, and once by a father for a daughter. So how come the Gemara here picked on Isha Yifram Hashem Yislach La, which is the third of the three times that it's mentioned in the Parshat Nidarim? So the Rosh says that he doesn't really have a clear explanation, but he suggests, even though he doesn't have a clear explanation, that it might be different here, that since a wife, right, thinks that Ishto Kagufo, that a wife is like the husband, and the husband will take into consideration his wife in a much more dear way, therefore the husband will most likely be made for the neder, whereas opposed to a nara muroso, or a father to a daughter, where they are uncertain as to whether the father, or again nara muroso, which is both the husband and the father, will be made for the neder. So here, even in a case where she thinks the husband has, or has likely reason to believe that the husband has been made for the neder, nevertheless, she doesn't know for certain, and then she goes ahead and violates the neder, or violates the neder in her mind, because truthfully her husband has nullified it, then she requires slicha kaparas. So that's the chiddush. Even though she might reasonably expect her husband to nullify it, nevertheless, unless she knows for certain he's nullified it, when she acts in a manner that's violating the neder, or the nizirut, we consider it that she, or we consider her to need kaparas and slicha. So Rabbi Akiva used to cry when he reached this pasuk. Here, a person who intended to eat treif, and instead he ended up eating kosher meat. Ta'un kaparas licha. Here he requires kaparas licha. So let's talk about our case where the woman was intending to eat treif, meaning that she was intending to violate her neder nizirut. In the end, she does not violate her nizirut because her husband had nullified. In a case where the person is trying to eat treif and he does eat treif, or meaning it's a case where a woman is trying to violate her nether and her husband has not nullified it, she has nullified it and she has violated the nether. Certainly one needs kapara. We have a similar type of thing by Hashem Talui. He doesn't know about it, and he's guilty, or possibly guilty, even as he has to carry his avon, and he brings a karban hashatoloi. What's the case? Ma mishnis kamin alot biado basar tlev yada blado basar chazir. Someone who intended to eat kosher and in the end ate treif, right? Kagon. What's the case here? Chaticha. Safek shel shuman, safek shel chelev. It's a question about a piece of meat in front of us, whether it's shuman made out of fats or has fats in it that are mutar. And safek whether it has chelev, fats in it that are asur. So here you have a piece of meat sitting in front of you where it's not clear that it's asur. And nevertheless, when someone eats this, right, they have to bring a karban hashem tuloy, amar krav in a sa ovono, that you have to carry the avon. Mishin is kavin alot biado basar chazir, v'alav yado basar chazir. Someone who tends to eat treif, and in the end, eats treif, achas kam acham, they need kapara. In that case, the first case, the person didn't intend to eat treif, he thought it was mutar. It just happened to be that there was a safek, a question about whether this really was mutar or not, but he intended to be mutar, and yet when he eats it, he has to bring an hashem tuloy, so he has to get kapara. So certainly where a person intends it to be Basar Chazir, he knows that it's Basar Chazir, and then he eats it, that certainly in that case he needs Kapra. Isi ben Yehuda omer lo yadav Hashem v'nasav, no? Ma mishnit kavin alot biyado basar tlev ve'alav biyado basar chazir. Kegon, what's the case? Shtei chatichot. You have two pieces of meat in front of you. Achat shel chelev ve'achat shel shuman. One that is mutar and one that is not. V'nasav, no? Right? The person who then eats it has to bring the Karban Hashem tuli and carry the avon. Hamitzgavin alot biyado basar chazir v'la biyado basar chazir. Achat kamakam. Someone who actually ends up with basar chazir after they intended to eat treif, then certainly they require kapara. Adavadzei davu hadavim. On this issue, the those will call out or be in woe about this. Idavu hadavim. The Tosus over here says, what's idavu? Davu is roshei tavot. Yadav Hashem ben asa. Meaning that you have to, there's an avon, there's a chase that one must deal with or must be mitmodeid with. So now, just to summarize here, we have three different limudim here. We have the limud of Rabbi Akiva, who says, from this case of the woman who violates nizirut, even though her husband's already nullified it, yet she still requires slichah kapara, even though she hasn't violated any Yisra of the Doraisa, so then certainly someone who intends to violate any Yisra of the Doraisa and does successfully violate any Yisra of the Doraisa, so they need kapara. Then the other two that we brought down was from an Hashem Taluy, there's a machlokis in the Mishnah. It's about what's the case of an Hashem Taluy. Is an Hashem Taluy, even when you have a single piece of meat, where there's a safek about whether it's chelev or shuman, and then you eat it, or even, that it must be to bring an Hashem Taluy, you have two options in front of you. You have echad mishtei chatichot. You have an option of shuman, an option of chelev, and then you end up, we don't know which one you ate. Therefore, you have to bring an Hashem Tolui. So that's what Isi Ben Yudas is. So the Machlok is about when you bring an Hashem Tolui will also teach us about the din of Kapara. So if you believe that you bring a Hashem Tolui when you eat a single piece, that's a Safek Shuman, Safek Chelev. So over there, here, the person intended to eat kosher. And in the end, it's a Safek what he ate. And he still has to have an Asav, and no, he has to bring a Karban. So certainly where a person intends to eat Isur, and he successfully eats Isur, then he certainly should have to bring a Karban. And the last case is Isi Ben Yehuda, who says it's Shtei Chatichot. You have a Shuman, and you have Chelev in front of you, and you eat one, and you're not sure which one, if you ate from the Shuman or for the Chelev. So in that case, that you require Benasav, and no, you require Kapara. Certainly, where a person intends to eat Isur, and he knows he eats Isur, therefore he will have to, or he will need a Kapara. So Mar asks the question, the obvious question is what? What do I need all these three cases to teach me the same thing? Tzrichim, I need them. The itana be isha. By the isha, I say, why she needs it? Hatum dubai kapar v'slicha. Over there, she needs kapar v'slicha. Meshum dimi karli surai kavein. Over there, she intends to violate the net in zirut. Even though she doesn't successfully do it, she intends to do it. V'chaticha safek shal chilev safek shal shuman. V'chaterai kavein. When you go to eat that meat, you're not intending to eat non-kosher. You think it's kosher. Lo ba'i kapar. Maybe you won't eat kapar v'slicha in that case. If you had said it by the case of Chelev and Shimon, there's clearly an Isur that you violated, because, or a possible Isur that you violated, because this could be Shimon Chelev. But maybe a woman who is, even though she thinks she's violating the nether, is her chief for sure has not violated it because her husband nullified the nether. Then maybe she shouldn't eat Kapara Slicha. Had you told me the case of Shuman and Chelev, the one piece that was a Safek Shuman and Safek Chelev, and the case of the woman by Nizirut, there is sufficient Kapara Slicha, because in that case there is no certainty that there's Isur there. By the case of the Shuman and Chelev, the one piece, it's either Shuman or Chelev. It might be one or the other, but we're not certain that it's Isur. And number two, by the woman, he nullified, the husband nullified the nether, so there is no Isur here. But when you have two pieces of meat, one is Chelev and one is Shuman, then we know for sure that there's Isur involved here. There's a question now, did you get it, come in tie in contact with that Isur? Did you eat that Isur? But there is Isur for sure, and maybe that's too much for us to allow you to get or require Slicha Kapara. May not be enough, and you might require also Isurim. Kamash Malan, the Loshnot. So that's what it comes to teach us. All these three cases, that they all require Kapara Slicha, and that Kapara Slicha is sufficient to take care of these three different cases. So Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, May Dichtiv, Ki Sherim Darchei Hashem, V'Tzadikim Yachumbam, V'Foshim Yikashtubam, that Hashem's ways are straight, and the tzaddikim will go in them, and the poshim, those that sin or rebel, will trip up in them. Mashal l'shnei b'nei adam shasalu et pitchem. What's this like? It's like two people who roasted their Pesach, Korban Pesach. Echad achlo d'shem mitzvah. One of them ate it for the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Echad achlo d'shem achil agas. And the other one ate it in a slovenly manner. He ate it in a manner that was not appetizing. He was over full already. He had eaten to his limits, and now he tries to eat the Korban Pesach on top of that. Zishachol the Shem Mitzvah v'tzadikim yel chubam. The one who eats it for the Shem Mitzvah, he's accomplished the mitzvah that Hashem set out, and he's accomplished eating the Korban Pesach. Zishachol the Shem achilagasso. The one who eats it, the achilagasso, he has no more room left. He's over full, right? He has no longer has any room for the Korban Pesach. Who pushed the mikash chubam? Then he will trip up on it. Samalei Reish Lokish. Hi, Rosh Hakaridei. This person you call Russia, he's a little Ovid mitzvah min a mufchar. But maybe he didn't do a mitzvah min a mufchar, Pesach Mika Ovid. Nevertheless, he still brought a Korban Pesach. So how could you call him a Russia here? So the Rishonim have to deal with a major issue, which is that the Gemara in Yoma, at the end of Yoma, says someone who eats Achilas Gaso is not violating the Inui Nefesh of Yom Kippur, because Achilas Gaso is not considered Achilas, not considered eating. Yet, from the statement of Reish Lakish over here, it seems like even Achilat Gasa, even though you do not necessarily accomplish the mitzvah in the best way, nevertheless, it's still considered Achilat, it's considered eating, and you have accomplished the Korban Pesach, or the mitzvah of eating Korban Pesach. So how could it be? You have Achilat Gasa here, and you have Achilat Gasa in Yoma, and Achilat Gasa in Yoma, the Gemara considers it as if it's not Achilat, it's not eating at all. Yet the Gemara over here considers Achilat Gasa as being, even though it's not a mitzvah of Chor, it's still considered Achilat, it's considered eating. So the Tosfos brings down the famous chiluk of the Rabbeinu Tam, that there's different types of achilat gaso. There's different types of overeating, right? Someone who overeats or eats beyond their limits. So if he eats beyond his limits and that it's so disgusting for him, he can't even eat food. It's so, the food is so detestable in his eyes because he's so full. That's called an achilat gaso, where it's lo shmei achilat. That's not even considered eating anymore. Yet there is another achilat gasa where he's full, where you have no appetite to eat anymore, but yet you can still eat. I mean, that it's not to the point where you detest the food, or the food is not even, you know, you're not even willing to put the food in your mouth, it's so disgusting to you. So that type of achilat gasa is not considered achilat. But when it's achilat gasa where you don't have an appetite anymore and you're full, but you could still put another thing in your mouth, that achilat gasa, even though it's not a mitzvah v'chub mufkar, will still be considered as if you have an achilat. That's the way Tosfos answers up. The Rashi, Mefarish over here, says something interesting. He says, "V'echad achlo d'shem achilat gasa, oh machmat hava shachlo b'ra'avon." That he describes achilat gasa here as not overeating, or the point where he's eating after he's satiated, but rather he's eating out of such desire. He's eating betavo. He's eating just for, not for eating's sake, but he's eating because he just wants to. He can't get enough food. He can't get enough consumption of food. He's just glutton, and he loves to eat, and he wants to continue eating, even though he's not really eating for the sake of eating, he's eating for that pleasure of the pleasure of placing food in his mouth. So maybe the Mefarish over here is trying to deal with this issue of the Gemara and Yoma. That's why it brings down this other version or other type of achila that's not really achila. It's not considered real eating because he's not eating to eat for eating's sake, but rather for the pleasure of putting food in his mouth. So there is where Reish Lakish says that's still considered eating, that's still considered Yotzei Pesach. But when it comes to that in Yoma, that's achilat gaso. Someone who eats is overeating at the point where they don't want to eat anymore. That's already not considered achilat. The Rosh gives the last interpretation on the third possibility, what it is, which is that he says, "Beyish lomar the hachi kamar." He the lo yotzei de chavat tomer achilat pesach. So the Rashi says, "No, maybe you're not yotzei achilat pesach." Marsha karile. Why should you call him a rasha? So fine, he did not succeed in accomplishing the mitzvah of Pesach, but that shouldn't give him the name Rasha. What could he have done? He was already full. He doesn't have to stop eating or not eat the Pesach. So therefore, and why is it called Rasha? And they don't have a right to call him a Rasha. So even though, like the Gemara in Yoma, this Achila is not a good Achila, and it will not accomplish the Achilas of Pesach to be able to the mitzvah of Pesach, but nevertheless, he shouldn't be called a Rasha. He didn't do something wrong. Right, so the Gemara now has to try something else to understand what it is. So the next opportunity comes, or the next option comes from a case. Mashal l'shnei bnei adam, two people. Person is traveling with his wife and his sister. Right, so they went to sleep in the hotel room. And for one of them, he ended up sleeping with his wife. And the other one ended up with his sister. The one who ended up having his wife sleep with him. The one who ended up with his sister instead of his wife. Where it says, Midami, how could you compare these cases? The pasuk says, there's one derech, and on that derech, the tzaddikim, right, will yochubam, and the rishayim poshim yikashlubam. But over here, you created shnei derechim, two different cases. One case, one individual ends up with his wife, and the other one ends up with his sister. Those aren't the same cases. Ela mashal lelot ushtezim venotav. This mashal is like Lot and his two daughters, right? Imot shehein shenitkavu shem mitzvah. His two daughters who were trying, who thought the world was destroyed, and were trying to continue the continue the humankind. They were miskaven l'shem mitzvah tzadikim yochubam. Who shnitkaven l'shem avera? He who was doing it l'shem avera uposhlim yikashlubam. That is the same. So here you have the same derech, two people involved in the same act, and yet one person will be considered tzadik yochubam because they're doing it intending it for the shem mitzvah, and the other person who is in the exact same act might be considered a poshlim yikashlubam because they are not in kavein the mitzvah of Ali Aveiro. So Gemara says, but then who not the Shem mitzvah kaving? How do you know that Lot wasn't kaving the Shem mitzvah? Maybe he also thought the world was destroyed and he wanted to procreate and expand humankind once again. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Call the pasuk as Hashem Yivran Ne'emar. This whole pasuk that's found in Bereishit when Lot splits up from Abraham. That pasuk in Bereishit Yud Gimel pasuk Yud is the Shem Avera Ne'emar. That whole pasuk was said the Shem Avera. So we're going to now break down the pasuk and show that each piece of that pasuk was the Shem Avera. Because it says, Vaisa Lot et Einav, he lifts up his eyes, Vayard Kol Kikar Yarden, he sees the whole plateau of the Yarden, Ki Kula Mashkeh, that it was all nice and fertile. Lifnei Shachet Hashem et the stone bat Marak, Yigan Hashem Keretz Tzvayim Bochat So'ar. Now the Torah is going to go through. How do you know this whole pasuk is La'Beira? So he said, Vayisa Lot. Right, so Lot lifts up his eyes. We also have it by Yosef. Vayisa Isha Donanah Zayna. Right, so that she lifts up her eyes to look at Yosef. And there's Isha Potiphar who's chasing after Yosef, and that's the Shem Avira. So the Vayisa Lot is the Shem Avira. Et Einav, he lifted up his eyes. So where do we see that eyes, or lifting one's eyes, looking is an Avira that we find by Shimshon. When Shimshon's taking his wife, and he comes and tells his parents he's found a woman he likes, they say, can't you find a nice Jewish girl? He says, no, I like the plishti that I found, ki hi shara beinai. She is found favor in my eyes. Bayar, so when he looks out, he sees it, kol kikar yedain. How do you know Bayar is the Shem Avira? Because it says, Bayar otah Shechem ben Chamor. Sorry about Shechem, when he sees Dina going out in the field and then rapes her. So we see the term Bayar is used in a negative connotation. Et kol kikar hayardain. Looks at and sees the whole kikar yadain. How do you know that kikar is used in a negative form? Because it says in Mishlei, ki bi'ad isha zonah kikar lechem. Right, that she looks out, this is a person should not be tempted. There in Mishlei, should not be tempted by a woman, right? Isha zonah kikar lechem, to pay for a loaf of bread. Kikhula mashke, right? What does he see? He sees the kikar yadain, that it's all fertile. How do you know the word kikhula mashke? That's from Hosea, when Hashem's complaining about Bnei Israel in the beginning of Hosea, he says, right, As in all these cases, all these things that Bnei Yisrael are thinking that they're going to run after all these Avodah Zarahs who are giving them all the things, that all their necessities or all their needs, and they don't realize that it's really Hashem who's providing them and not these Avodah Zarahs. So you see again this concept, Kikola Mashkeh, that the term Mashkeh, right, is used in a negative connotation. So all this, you see this pasuk was negative, and therefore we assumed also by Lot, right, that he also, this whole experience of Lot was L'shem Avera, because he went to stone L'shem Avera, and therefore also by his daughters it ended up being L'shem Avera. So Gemara says, V'haminas Onis. What do you mean it was L'shem Avera? He was drunk. If he was drunk, then he was an Onis Badavar. So how could you blame him? So Tana Mishum Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chalni, Lamana Kura Vav Uvukuma. It says after he slept with his daughter, it says Lo Yadav Yishchov Kuma. He didn't know when he went to sleep with her, and when he got up, he had no idea. How come the word Vav on the Vav of Kuma, there's a dot? So Kuma should be Kuma. Lo Mashe Shebeshchov Lo Yadav. When he went to sleep with her, he didn't know because he was drunk. Avav Kuma Yadav. When he got up, he already was aware that something had happened. What could he have done? It was done already. The act with his daughter was already done. So what if he knew about it once he got up? Gemara says, Nafkamina to the Fanya Achrina. No, for the next night. That's Nafkamina. The next night, Lo Yibayla de Mishtei Chamra. He shouldn't have gotten drunk again. The fact that he got drunk means that he's no longer really an Onis, because he knows what's going to happen when he gets drunk. And yet he still allowed himself to get drunk on the next night. So he's not considered an Onis. So that would be how we explain in the end, the Kisharim Darche Hashem, that Hashem's ways are Yashar Tzadikim Yu Ilchubam. That's referring to the daughters of Lot who did the Shem Mitzvah. So then, but in that same Derech, right, that same act, Uposhlim Yikash Lubam, that's referring to Lot who did it the Shem Aveira, and should have known better, because he had gotten drunk once already, and should know by the second time what's going to happen. And number two is, we know that Lot went to stone and went to that area all the Shem Aveira. So we know that he wasn't intending to do it the Shem Mitzvah. All right, now the Gemara continues. Darish Rabba Maiti Chtiv. What does it say in the pasuk? Ach Nifsha Mikiryat Oz. Right. So what does it mean? Ach Nifsha Mikiryat Oz Umidyanim Kivriach Armon. So what does it mean? Ach Nifsha. Ach Nifsha. That refers to Lot and Abraham, because it says Ki Anashim Anach Achim Anachnu. So Achim, who are brothers? That's Lot and Abraham. Nifsha. He made a mistake. Pasha. Right, this Lot made a big mistake. Mi Kiryat Oz, he separated himself out. He left the Kiryat Oz, the area of strength. What is the area of strength? Who's that? That's Abraham. Dichtiv Habitu Tzur Chutzvatam. Look at those, the pillars of strength, and that refers to the Avot. So Abraham, he left. Ach Nifshai made a mistake. He separates himself. Mi Kiryat Oz, and what's the result of that? Umidjanim Kibriach Harmon. And now because of that, this argument or this altercation that happened between Abraham and Lot, we end up with the fact that what? That the Moabim are now excluded from Bnei Israel. So now we're going to see this in the inside. Ach nifsha mikiryat oz, the Lot should perish me Abraham. O midyanim kivriach armon, should tell midyanim kivriach armon. That he placed the midyanim outside of Bnei Israel, that they're not allowed to marry into Bnei Israel, like the lock of a, or the Armon, the palace, which is far away, right? Lo yavo amani, what's that? Lo yavo amani movi b'kala kalashem. They're no longer allowed to come into the kalashem. Darish rov avitim rabitzav ma'irchtiv. We just quoted the pasuk from Mishlei. So the first pasuk in that parak of Mishlei says, l'ta'ava yivakesh nifrad u'v'chol tushya yitkala. So the ta'ava, he went after his desires, yivakesh. He went after his desires. Nifrad, because of the going after his desires, he split up. So who's this referring to? It's referring to Lot. Lot, who followed his desires, he looked outside of Kikari Yigbein, who called him Mashkeh. So he goes over, he follows his avot, his desires, Nifrad, so therefore he separates from Abraham. Obechol Tushya, Tushya means the Torah. Tushya is a word that's used to describe Torah. So in all the Torah, Yitzgala, it will become revealed. So what does that mean? Yitzgala, be revealed. L'tava yivakesh Nifrad, the Lot. That's referring to Lot, who separated from Abraham because of his tavot. That b'chol tushia means in all Torahs, meaning both Torah shebichtav and Torah shebal peh, that will be revealed. Because his embarrassment, or that which Lot did, is going to be read over in the shuls and in the bate midrashim. So in the shul, that Torah shebichtav, because it says lo yavo amonim ovi b'kal Hashem. Ubavet in midrashot, which is referring to Torah shebaal peh, that's because we have the mission that says tan amonim ovi asurim v'isuram yisur olam. So that which Lot did, and because he separated from Abraham because of his ta'avot, he ends up being mentioned in the negative form, both in Torah shebichtav and Torah shebaal peh, that his offspring, the Moavi amoni, are precluded from joining Klal Yisrael. Amar Ula, Tamar Zitna, Zinta, Zimri Zina. Tamar and Hira did Znus, and Zimri ended up doing Znus. Tamar Zinta Yatsumimena Melachim Minibim. Tamar, who is Mizane, she slept with Judah, ended up coming out of her Melachim, kings like David HaMelech, Unibim, like Yishayo, because we know from the Gemara tells us that Motzva Matzia Achim Hayu, so therefore we know that the Yishaya came from that same lineage, right? So we have Nevi'im and Melachim that come out of Tamar, Zimri, Zina, and Naflu Alav, Makamim Avot Misrael, and Zina, and Zimri was Mezaneh, and from him, many tens of thousands of Jews died because of him. There was a Magifa, and problems, and almost a birth of problem generated by the Znus of Zimri. So what do you see? You see her Tamar, who did the Shem Shamayim, did the Znus with Shem Shamayim, ends up that she has kings and Nevi'im coming out of her. Zimri, who didn't do it l'shem shamayim, did it l'shem znus, ends up killing all these Jews, or ends up causing all these Jews to be killed in Klal Yisrael. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, what can we see from this? Gedola aveira l'shma mitzvah shlo l'shma. That aveira that's done l'shma is greater than a mitzvah that's done shlo l'shma. Amar says, is that really true? Amar Rav Yudam Rav l'olam yasuk adam b'torah b'mitzvot afilu shlo l'shma. Person should do Torah and mitzvot shlo l'shma. Shemitov shlo l'shman b'lishman. At least over here, the Girsa in our Gemara is Torah u'mitzvot. The Rambam has a different Girsa, but we'll go with the Girsa we have in our Gemara. That a person should always yasuk adam b'Torah mitzvot shelo lishma, because when you do it shelo lishma, there's a chance that you will come, or you eventually will come, lishma. So now, how could that be? If that's the case, then it seems that it's positive. A mitzvah shelo lishma is very positive. How could you say that mitzvah, an aveira, lishma, right, is better than that? Aleima kim mitzvah shelo lishma. No. That they're equivalent. That an aveira lishma is equivalent to doing a mitzvah shelo lishma. Yichtiv, how do we know this? Because it says by Ya'el, Tivorach min nashim Ya'el, Eshet chever akini min nashim ba'ol Tivorach. Right, that they, in Shirat Devorah, when she's describing what Ya'el did in killing Sisra, then Devorah compliments Ya'el as being Tivorach nashim Ya'el, she should be blessed, min nashim ba'ol Tivorach. She should be more blessed than the women in the Ohel. Ma noshim shiba Ohel. Who are the women in the Ohel? That is Savra, Rivka, Rachel, Valeya. So they hear Devorah is praising her for being greater than the Imahot. Even greater than the Imahot. So why is that? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Sheva Bilot Balo Torah Shabbat Shah. That Sisra had intercourse with the Ohel 7 times. How do we know that? From Shirat Devorah it says, Ben Ragla Karana Fal Shachav, Karana Fal Shachav. So Ben Ragla is 1, Karana Fal Shachav is 3, and then it says Karana Fal Shachav again is 7. So 7 times, right, that he had the Elot with her. So even though Devorah performed an quote-unquote Aveira, that she was Niv'al or Niv'elet to Sisra, nevertheless, Devorah praises her at the level of the Imahot. So you see from here that even a Aveira Lishma, a Dan L'Shem Mitzvah, can still be held in high esteem. Now, what does it mean exactly that Tzar Rivka Belea or Nashim Ba'ohel? So the way it tells us, a simple way to learn this, is that it's as good that she's compared to the Imahot. The Imahot, they were great women. And yet, even though Ya'el did something that might not seem proper, nevertheless, the Devorah compliments her and compares her to the Imahot. That's a simple way to learn it. The way the Mefarish learns it over here is that the Imahot actually did a mitzvah Shelo Lishma. And that is when they gave their shvachot to their husbands, that they didn't really want to do that. That wasn't their real positive intention. They did it either because they were kane, right? They were upset about their sisters. They were trying to miskanevin their sisters, or because they wanted to be nivne. They wanted to build offspring and have children from their husbands. But not necessarily, they did it lishma. Nevertheless, right? And nevertheless, they are the imahot. They are the great imahot. And yet we see what? Who is Ya'el is compared to those Imahot. So Ya'el, who did a mitzvah lishma, is compared to the Imahot, who did a mitzvah shlo lishma. So that's how the Mefarish learns the Gemara here. B'haka mitanyo. Well, maybe a little delayed. So how can you say that Ya'el is off the hook here and she did a avera lishma? she gets some pleasure from the Be'ilah, the intercourse that came from Sisra. That anything that the Rishayim think is good is only bad for the Tzaddikim. It says, be careful, don't speak. Hashem, when he speaks to Lot in the dream the night before he's going to meet Yaakov, he says to him, don't speak to Yaakov, mitov adra, from good or bad. Bishlam or Rashapir. Okay, good. Don't speak bad things to him. Elotova mailo. Why not speak good things to him? Elalash, maminatovatara ahi. That even the good stuff of the Rishayim is bad for the Tzaddikim, and Hashem warns him, don't even do anything good. Don't speak good well, or don't speak poorly with Yaakov. You shouldn't speak to him at all. We know from that what ends up happening is that Rachel dies from this conversation, this meeting between Yaakov and Lavan the next day, that Rachel ends up dying. So now, what does it mean, Mitobad Ra? What is Mitobad Ra? What are we worried about over here? We're worried over here that when they get into a conversation between Lavan and Yaakov, the Gemara says in Yevamot that he might come to, what? He might come to taking a Shavu'ah in the shame of Avodah Zarah. So don't get involved in the conversation or involved in any transactional issues because he might come to take a nether b'shem Avodah Zarah. And same thing over here. So what's the ra'ah, what's the badness that the Be'ilah of Sisra provided to Yael? And that, the Gemara says, is because nichnas ba zuhuma. He placed in her some sort of zuhuma, some sort of negative aspect that is imparted to her when he has Bila with her. So now, just to go back quickly on the Gemara, there are two quick questions here. One is, this is a famous Tosfos that comes up, famous question that comes up, the Gemara in Brachos, that says, a person who osik b'mitzvah shalol lishma, noach lo shalol nivra, it's better that he was not created. So Tosfos here differentiates in different types of mitzvot shalol lishma. That there is a time, someone who learns Torah to try to undermine others, or try to get back at others, or try to dissuade others from doing what's right, that is mitzvah shalom lishma, noach lo shalom nivra. It's better he wasn't born, better that he doesn't get involved at all. But there's another type of mitzvah shalom lishma where a person learns either litzgader or liknot shame to become famous or to make darim around himself, but he's not learning lishma. That type of learning you should do because you might come lishma. So it's interesting that Rav Chaim Belozhin in the Ruach HaChaim, when he's on his parish on Pirkei Avot, he mentions why is it important that you do a mitzvah shalom lishma? Because if balishma. Why is that? Because if a person always waits to do the mitzvah properly, why? If they do the mitzvah properly, what is the what's going to happen? So for instance, the person says, I don't want to daven b'kavona. So he waits for the opportunity to daven b'kavona. He may never daven because he'll just wait, and he'll never get that opportunity to daven b'kavona. But a person who davens every day, right, there's a good chance that they will have a davening b'kavona because they're already osik b'tfilah. They're osik b'tfilah. There's at least a chance you'll come to daven b'kavona. If you're never davening, then there's no chance that you're going to come to a davening b'kavona. And from this, actually, the Rambam has an unusual shita. We know the Rambam, the Makos, has an unusual shita. By mitzvot, he says, what is the Lufika Chirbalem Torah mitzvot? Why did Hashem expand many mitzvot to Klal Yisrael? Because that a person should find one mitzvah that he does successfully, it does properly, lishma, and bekavonos. So you only need one mitzvah. So the Rambam believes there's no such thing as lo lishma by mitzvot and lishma by mitzvot. So therefore, the Rambam, when he says over here, so that olam yasuk adam b'torah mitzvot shlo lishma, he only is goreis b'torah, and it's not found b'mitzvot. Because the Rambam doesn't believe in this idea of shlo lishma by mitzvot, because he believes the whole purpose of having mitzvot is that you should get to one point where you do one mitzvah properly. So that's the whole point of mitzvot. You don't have to come to b'lishma, but that you have to get to one mitzvah that you do right. Alright, so that's the one issue. The second issue is, why was Yael permitted to do this? Right, meaning, okay, fine, maybe you'll say, what? Now she should be Yerag Val Yavar, Terag Val Yavar. There, the Rishonim points out, this is like Esther. The Gemara said, Hedin says that Esther Karka Olam Hu, that a woman is passive when it comes to intercourse, and therefore, right, she's not Chayevet to give up her life when it comes to Bilot Asurot. So fine, Yael wasn't Chayevet to give up her life, but nevertheless, the Gemara wants to know, Bahamit Hanya Bavera, she's still getting Hanah. So even if though she wasn't required to give up her life, yet we should see Devorah should come along and praise Yael for what she did if she's getting Hanah from this Be'ilah. That's what the Gemara comments it up. No, that there wasn't really any Hanah for her because the Be'ilah of Sisra is negative. All right, now we'll continue. Gufa. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Lo Lam Yasok Adam B'Torah B'Mitzvah Zafilu Shlo Lishman, Shetok Lo Lishman, Bal Lishman, Shebeschar. We have another example is Mem Bet Karbonot Shikri Balak Harasha. right? The 42 carbonot that Balak brought. What were the 42 carbonot? Each time that he went to curse Bnei Yisrael, he put up seven misbachot. On each misbeach, he put up bar bayo. So it's 14 carbonot, three times. That's 42 carbonot. Zachol yasim yimenu root. From him came out root. Ramar Yosef Bechanin, how we know that? Root bat beno shel eglon melech moav haita. Because Ruth was a descendant of the kings, or the lineage of kings from Moab. Not that literally she was a granddaughter of Eglon Melech Moab, but she was a descendant of Eglon Melech Moab. So we see Balak succeeded in eventually having Ruth come out of him, and who joined Klal Yisrael and obviously produced the Davidic line, because of the schutz of the 42 karbanot that he brought. Those 42 karbanot were not lishma, they were brought to curse Bnei Yisrael, and nevertheless, he still got a schar for those that he ended up having Ruth come out of him. How do we know that Hashem does not hold back the rewards for even the small, or some nice, for the speech, proper speech? The older daughter called him Moab Me'av, who identified that it came from her father. That you're not allowed to provoke or to start a war with Moab. You're not allowed to direct or instigate a war with them, but you are allowed to cause them pain. You're allowed to bother them and to raid them. Irad, the created Ben Ami, who did it in a more tanua way, she says Ben Ami does not identify that it came from her father. But the word milchama is missing. That you're not allowed to bother them or instigate them at all. You're not allowed to bother them at all. So we see here the reward for the younger daughter who called her son Ben Ami versus calling him Moab. She gets the reward that we're not even allowed to instigate at all with the younger, with Ammon, whereas Moab, we still have a little opening to bother them or deal with them, rather than, but we can't have war with them. A person always should run to do the mitzvah first. Why? For the one night that the older daughter slept with her father before the younger daughter, she ended up having children in Klal Yisrael, or being a part of Klal Yisrael four generations earlier. Why? Because where's Ruth? Ruth was the tzad mi Moab, which is from the Bechira, and Ruth ends up being in part of Klal Yisrael from Oved, Ishai, David, and Shlomo. That's four generations. Whereas Rechavam, who's the son of Shlomo, was born out of a marriage mi Na'amah Amonit and Shlomo Melech. So Na'amah Amonit then has somebody in Klal Yisrael as Rechavam. So it ends up that the Bechira, the older daughter, ends up four generations in front of the younger daughter in Klal Yisrael. And that's in the schus that she was Makdim Le Mitzvah. Alright? And the other thing that the Mefarish points out over here is just a side note, the Gemara doesn't say this, but that the older daughter who says that it's called Me'av, the Torah says about her, about Tishkav et Aviha, specifically enumerates that she slept with her father. The Tzira that says that she called her Mamon, it says about her, but Tishkav Imo, with him, and doesn't mention with the him, it uses a pronoun rather than her father. All right, we'll stop here, and we'll continue with the Mishnah next time.